Been a long day. Grab a beer and sit back. It's time for Brew Talk. Here's Scott, Chad, and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Happy Brews Day, everybody. You're tuning into Brew Talk on 1310 and 103.1 KFKA. We're live from the Allofiber Studios, and all three of us are here.
Yeah.
Yay.
But we're no longer in downtown Greeley.
We're in the fancy new digs, enjoying them. And we're just
In West Greeley.
And we're just talking about how nice the new headphones are that Micah hid for months, and everybody was upset about them.
I wasn't. I think they're nice to play with now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
They don't fall apart when I put them on my head.
No. I noticed that. That's a big plus.
That's a nice thing to have.
It is. We wanted to debut them with this fancy new studio in this fancy building.
Yeah, you know, why not just make everything new with the new building?
Exactly.
Well done.
I get it. I understand completely.
Mission accomplished.
It's warm out there today.
No kidding.
It makes this nice cold beer taste.
I know, right?
Beer.
Well, I brought the table beer for today. This is from Rule 105. Again, going with the M2K2. I think it's just perfect English style, pale ale, ordinary bitter, whatever you want to call it. And it's, I think it just fits really well.
I like it.
And it's about the right temperature. It's usually served a little too cold.
Yeah.
But I think it's been in the car for just a couple seconds, and that kind of warmed it up a little bit.
That's all it took.
On the short jaunt over here. You guys all ready for the 4th and doing big plans?
My goodness. We're going to be pouring beer on the 2nd at the Stampede.
Well, that's right.
And
yeah, the festival.
The festival there. And we're really looking forward to that. And then on the 4th, there's always fireworks.
Hey, there is.
And
you're right across from the country.
Right across from the country club, and apparently you can see them pretty well. At least we have the last couple of years.
I was going to say, that window that faces 10th and on the patio there closest to the, it's a great, great spot.
Everybody always says, take down the tarps, take down the canopies, and I'm like, no. They're too much trouble
too
to put
much
up.
Too much
hassle,
yeah.
So,
besides, if you get any drifting, you're protecting them.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
And I just hope there's no rain.
Right.
We had our monsoon season. You never know. It feels like it could come back any second now.
It does.
It's so hot. You just think, okay, it's going to rain tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, and as foggy and humid as it felt this morning, it made me kind of think, here we go again.
Right.
But then they fooled me, and my car said 97 on the way over here.
So
Wow.
Just kidding.
And what was Denver over 90 today? That would have been their first day.
It was supposed to be their first day. One of the latest.
And we hit 97, right?
Well, in my car.
I feel like that's probably a sun-dated temperature.
Yeah, it's not accurate. Sure.
It's kind of been a strange summer so far. And so it's kind of nice to sit out on the patio. There's got to be a little bit of a breeze, though, I think. If there's a little bit of a breeze, I can handle 104 as long as there's a little breeze.
Well,
and I got a cold beer.
And it's low humidity.
Correct.
I'm from Colorado. I'm not used to
this
humidity that we've been having. Huh. And I know people laugh at me when I say we're in the 30% humidity, and I'm complaining how humid it is.
It's unbearable. Well, I did happen to take a trip to Las Vegas, and we're walking up and down the strip, and it was lunchtime, and I thought, well, let's just go in this open-air patio over here and have, lunch. But it was like 103 degrees outside, and it was hot.
Yeah. The open-air patio was not any cooler, is what you're
saying.
No,
well, they had the little spray things that squirt somebody's water all over you, and... But, yeah, it ended up being kind of fun because, you sat there with a cold beer. And if you stayed kind of still and the wind was blowing just a little bit, it actually is pretty nice.
Not too bad.
Yeah, it's manageable.
How did you manage to get out of the casino? That's the curious
thing. Oh, I was broke by then. So.
Well, I'm always broke, too. I just can never find my way out of the place.
Oh. Yeah, they do kind of make
the
exit kind
of
hidden.
Get out of there.
Yep. They make it hard. Well, I know this morning I was thrilled because I finally back in town and then had a chance to mow the lawn after 10 days.
Oh,
and
yes.
Of course, yes. And so for me,
oh, wow, that
mowing
was a jungle.
Well, it wasn't too bad, thankfully, because it's been hot the last few days and had cut it down a little bit shorter before I left. But it's, you know, get out my lawn beer.
There you go.
And get on the riding mower and spend my hour outside. And
so good question. Then you kind of bring it up there. What's your lawn beer?
My lawn beer is the Hefeweizen from Zwei Brewing.
Oh.
Yep.
Very nice.
So it's a little thicker, a little heavier kind of a
it is.
Lawn beer.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm riding on a lawnmower, so I'm not really...
Oh, okay.
You know, not really doing a lot of work other than just driving
you don't
and being
have,
hot.
You don't have the beer strapped to your beer helmet?
No, I do not. Okay. Although I could do that. That would not be bad. Although I have a couple low-hanging trees I might have to dodge. But for this, it's I've got one of those big, like, 40-ounce Yeti cups that's insulated, and it's perfect. You just fill that up once and last you for the entire lawn. So
Chad, what's your lawn beer? Or lawnmower beer, or whatever we call it.
Yeah. See, I go a little heavier, too. Mine's the Odell's IPA.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's just kind of my summer go-to beer anyway. That's my during the summer, I always have that in my fridge to kind of...
It doesn't make you sleepy or tired?
No,
or,
not too bad.
For me, the heavier the beer and the heat just kind of does me in.
Yeah.
So mine is, believe it or not, it's PBR.
Is nothing
that
wrong with that?
I go quite the opposite. I go with like a heavier American lager. So, and just go that route.
You know, the room here in this new studio is phenomenal because the odor of the sarcasm that was coming off of that statement just lingered in the air for quite a while, Doc. So, well done.
But no, I mean, it's honest and truthful. You know, I prefer... an American light lager or an American lager when I'm out and I'm sweating to death.
Yeah.
Mich Ultra, believe it or not, is a great sweat replacer.
Well, because it's kind of beer-flavored water.
It's beer-flavored water, right. Yeah. And it does a great job. And it actually doesn't taste too bad. And PBR, I think, is a little bit, you know, that's beer-flavored beer. And it does a great job.
Definitely does.
So yeah. I brought something in. You know, talking about beer-flavored things. We just got these Voodoo Ranger hard teas that beer-flavored drinks are, you know, these are kind of the rage, apparently. Mm-hmm. And I haven't tried it yet. This one's with a shot of lemon flavor, it says.
Hmm.
So it'd be interesting to try that here in a minute just to...
We're
not going to review it. I think I'm just going to try it just to...
Well, we could try it and talk about it, but we're not going to grade it.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of neat to try it. I mean, I've had some of those kinds of things before that were, I wasn't that all thrilled with them, but I'm open to new ideas.
Generally, I'm not into those kind of drinks, but we'll see. Apparently, Weldworks makes one too, but I didn't realize that.
Didn't know that either.
When I grabbed this and was walking out the restaurant today, somebody said they like this one a little better than Weldworks. But I didn't even know Weldworks made one. So
I didn't either.
I'd have to go grab one of those just to... compare and contrast, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen a lot of the seltzers still.
Yeah.
And there's quite a few companies out there doing the seltzers, but this is a little different when it's
a tea or something.
Yeah. So.
Well, for a while there, the tea-flavored vodka was a big thing. And then I guess now we just moved into the tea beverages.
Tea-flavored beer.
Malted tea? I don't know.
Malted tea? Be sort of like a cross between kombucha and beer?
Maybe.
Could be.
I have no idea. I've never had one of these before. So.
Huh.
It might be kind of like some of those really, really old whiskeys and bourbons that they age so long that they just end up tasting like Earl Grey tea.
Like.
Because they've been in the barrel for so, so long. Yeah.
Hmm.
Here we go. Malt beverage with tea flavors and other natural flavors.
Okay. So it's beer. It's, with tea.
It's Colt 45 with
a hint of tea. It's a Mickey's with a little bit of tea.
Hey now, come on. Gotta love your Mickey's Big Mouse.
I know.
Well, that was a staple in high school.
I know. I've been turned on to Montucky. I hate to tell you that.
Montucky.
If I have to go that route, I'm going Montucky, I think.
I'm not familiar with Montucky.
Because it's the beer snack.
It's the beer snack.
Beer snack.
Well, that's what they call it.
Yeah, they don't
call it beer. They call it
some kind of snack.
snack. We'll have to look it up. Montucky. Good malt liquor.
Okay.
And super cheap, too.
And very cheap, too, yeah. So.
Not from Kentucky, not from Montana.
But made
but
for.
Made for.
Yeah, whatever your snack preference is for malt beverages.
Montucky Cold Snacks.
Cold
snackable light beer.
Yeah.
Wow, this is directly off of their website. This is a little interesting. Okay.
Seriously, if you've never tried one, you should.
Don't hate until you try it, right? Mm-hmm. And so 4% one, so definitely a session beer. 102 calories, though.
It's pretty light.
It's not bad.
Considering, you know.
Oh, it's the carbs I was thinking. Yeah, only 4.95 carbs, because I think Michelob Ultra is like under 5 carbs. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and I think Michelob Ultra is like 90 calories,
right.
If I remember.
Yeah. And
just I think a Bud Light's right around that 100, mm-hmm. 200.
But the Montucky has a ton more flavor than the Mick Ultra.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Oh, my gosh. What does this say?
See, I'm turning you on to it. You're going to have to go grab some on the way home.
I mean, this looks like an 80s band decided to make a beer. I mean, the cold snacks. It's like an iridescent, like ELO album cover with a horse on it.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have said ELO made it.
Well, it just... Okay, so here's the snack thoughts directly from their website, and I think I'm quoting Bryce Rogers, and that's all run together, so I don't know if that's a person or a horse or somebody. In this life, you get what you pay for. This is an outstanding pale lager, 16 ounces of crisp, enjoyable American-style beer. The taste and aftertaste of this sweet nectar is impeccable. With 4% alcohol by volume, this is a happy medium threshold between cheap light beer and a very mild IPA. There you go, Chad. I paid $6 for a six-pack of 16-ounce rainbow cans.
Yeah.
Glad they support recycling, 6 local social causes, 8% give back. For what it's worth, this beer is an amazing choice.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have equated it with an IPA.
No, I wouldn't have either.
But it's worth a try if you've never tried it before. It could be your next lawnmower beer.
I'm getting the impression that some of their reviews are sort of like the Hutzer 571 banana slicer on Amazon, which I absolutely love. So this one comes from somebody else. Trying the cold snack is a life-changing experience. Pours a beautiful prairie yellow with notes of awesomeness and winning. If you like America, then give this a go. You will not be disappointed.
That's a pretty glowing review.
It is.
And they just keep going.
Hints of wonderfulness.
Yeah, there's... Yeah, this is...
And how did we get on Montucky in the first
it's
place?
It's your fault,
Doc. Oh, it was me? Okay.
It's your new lawnmower beer.
It was my lawnmower beer is PBR.
Oh. Yeah.
But I would take a Montucky, though, instead of a PBR if I had the opportunity.
Yeah.
So it's worth a try. They sell it locally.
Montucky.
So. Montucky.
It's... The reviews in and of itself are probably worth a visit to the website.
You know what? If you go in there with the attitude that it can't be any worse than that one beer we reviewed with the watermelon flavor, whose name will go unmentioned on the air.
The word urinal cake was thrown around.
Oh, then you'll be fine.
Well, one individual did identify that they were 34 years old and that it's not even made in Montana, but this beer is my favorite I have found in my 34 years on this planet.
Yeah. No, it's made in, I think, Minnesota or someplace.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Which
where they came up with the name, I have no idea.
Maybe it's halfway between Kentucky and Montana.
Maybe it is. And I'm just going to say this last one, and then we'll be done. But I appreciate the fact that they left this on their website just for it. Would drink on the river when already drunk and desperate, but not otherwise.
No, I think it's a little better than that.
Like, is Montucky the Malort of beers?
The Malort.
Oh, it's an interesting malt beverage, that's for sure.
There it is.
Your new lawnmower beer. Go out and grab a Montucky. Let's grab a break here real quick. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the 4th and barbecues and how we can cook with beer during the 4th. Stick around.
Sounds good.
Welcome back to Brew Talk. We're live from the brand new Aloe Fiber Studios in
Western Bailey. As we go round and round with our beverages today.
So we're sipping on this hard charged tea from Voodoo Ranger. And it tastes like tea.
It's kind of good.
Yeah, it's not horrible. I didn't expect it to enjoy it this much.
I get, and you guys may not agree, but it tastes to me just like a sweet tea, but not with regular sugar, like with sweet and low. Yeah. I mean, you know, being a diabetic, I'm always, you know, doing the...
You know your artificial sweetener.
I know my artificial sweeteners, and this tastes like a tea sweetened with an artificial sweetener. Surprised that it's 7%. And it's a little dangerous because it doesn't taste and it doesn't come across as 7%.
If you didn't tell me there was alcohol in it, I don't think I could tell.
Well, it kind of warms my tummy a little bit. I'm noticing that. But other than the flavor that I kind of got is those Chinese rice candies that are red or orange color and they're wrapped in rice paper or rice cellophane.
Oh, yeah.
And it's that kind of... The rice cellophane flavor mixed with the super sweetness of the thing. I'm kind of getting that kind of level of sweetness in this.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Definitely, I don't think there's any natural flavors in here.
But it says there are. You read the can.
Well, I mean, naturally, it tastes like
naturally beer. Artificial flavors.
Naturally artificial. With other natural fruits.
I would not say this tastes like beer, though. No. It's definitely not.
No.
Definitely a hard iced tea.
It's definitely a tea. I don't know that I could drink that whole 24-ounce can.
No, I'm glad that we don't have to.
Because I don't drink a lot of really sweet things, and I think that's what it would be hard for me.
You're sweet enough. That's right. It, Chen.
I would like this better, I think, if it was carbonated.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Yeah.
If it had a little bite on the end instead of the cloying sweetness at the end. Other than that, I think it's pretty tasty.
It's not horrible.
And a good use of the word cloying there by Doc.
Doc is our word of the day guy.
Oh, sorry. I haven't identified the word of the day yet.
That could be it.
It's interesting.
Interesting.
I thought the word of the day was iridescent.
Oh, yeah, we could call it iridescent. But we haven't had anything iridescent yet.
No, we have not.
So...
Yeah, I'm with you, Chad. I think could have a little bit of this. Certainly could not have the entire can.
I'd split a can with somebody, maybe. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe they do something.
I'd take a sip and pass it on and then ask for the beer.
Where's the beer at? But I know people that would definitely enjoy this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That are non-beer drinkers, and this is beer-like.
Well, it's made with a malt beverage, which means they probably made it as a beer, and then probably removed all of the off flavors from the yeast production, and then adjusted the flavor to match the lemon tea.
All you Zima drinkers, I think, would really enjoy this.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, very much so. Although Zima, remember, was carbonated.
It was
carbonated.
So that's what I'm saying. I think if you carbonate this thing, you've elevated it 3 notches. It'll go to 11.
Next time we'll get a straw and we'll just kind of blow on it and get some bubbles in there.
Awesome. If you carbonated this, would you have to call it a seltzer, though?
You might have to. Because of the sweetness? Would it be a tea-flavored seltzer?
A tea-flavored seltzer? Interesting. I
don't know.
To me, I'm missing the acid bite that... I think would really clear my palate, because right now I'm still going, it's still sweet,
still
and it's
sweet,
still in my mouth.
Still there,
Yeah, it's just, it's making me salivate, but the sweetness salivation. Ooh. Tons of words.
Well, if you have non-beer drinkers coming to your barbecue on the 4th of July, I think this is not a bad option to have out there.
I think it's a great option.
Are you guys big barbecuers?
Well, speaking of barbecue, I mean, I love to grill. I also love to barbecue. I love to smoke meats, etc.
How often do you cook? How often do you barbecue with beer?
As often as I can. Usually it's every other time, probably. Yeah. I'll do something with
beer. And I'm not saying with a beer in your hand. I'm saying as part of the cooking process or an ingredient. Oh,
beer in the hand is every time.
It is every time, correct, yes.
Sometimes, about half the time.
And I don't even have to be barbecuing. I could be making breakfast. And I might have a beer in my hand.
On my Wheaties, yes.
That's right.
When I'm grilling or something like that, it's about half the time that I think a beer is necessary to make the meal.
Okay.
Not that I'm drinking it, that right. It's part of the dish that I'm making.
Now, what do you use and how do you use it when you're barbecuing? I'm just curious because I tend to cook a little different with than beer than a lot of people. So I kind of want to get the feel of how you cook with beer.
So I usually would do something like a braised. Mm-hmm. I braise meats a lot. Mm-hmm. I love the flavor of a braised meat. And adding a beer to some stock... to make a soup, adding some vegetables to it to help flavor it a little bit, and then throwing, say, chicken in it, and then just sticking it on the grill and braising it for 45 minutes to an hour, boiling it for 45 minutes to an hour, where some of the meat is still exposed, so it gets a lot of that kickback from the heat and starts to crisp up on part of the meat. That, to me, is heaven.
Yeah.
If I'm making a gravy... A little bit of beer in the gravy.
I agree, yeah.
That's kind of how I tend to use it.
I think a lot of people, when they think beer and cooking, they automatically think three things, right? They think beer brats, where they just kind of boil their brats in beer. Mm-hmm. Beer batter, where they kind of just kind of incorporate the beer into the batter and kind of quick fry things. Or is the beer can chicken.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Where, I don't know that, I've never had the beer can chicken. Does it impart a lot of beer flavor, or is it just adding moisture to the
chicken? I've had it once, and I wasn't impressed, to be honest. I'd rather have just the chicken crisped up and cooked like a whole chicken or something.
I think in theory, it's just kind of adding moisture and keeping that chicken moist.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't think it impart a whole lot of flavor. It's just kind of steaming that inside of the chicken.
To me, the chicken was drier because the moisture pushes all the fat out of the chicken, so it's not as moist. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
To me, moistness means there's a lot of fat still floating around inside the meat.
Fat is flavor, right?
Right.
That's what we learned in culinary school, fat is flavor.
Well, I didn't go to culinary school, and when you guys were talking about grilling with a beer, I was raised that that's what you used to drink and to put out the fire while you're grilling. So every time I grill...
Put out the fire?
Well, you know, if you get a little bit of fat on the and it starts to flame up, you'd use that to kind of, you know, get the flames down. So
Yeah, whenever I have a flame up...
So you don't burn yourself, right?
Yeah. When I have a flame up, I just move it to the other side of the grill.
Well, you know, I do both. I douse it in beer and then move it around and we go from there. And we just, so now I'm imparting the beer into whatever I'm cooking, whether it's chicken or burgers or hot dogs or brats or anything. That just, pretty much anything that I cook on the grill will have some level of beer poured on it at some point in time during it being grilled.
Which is not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea.
I use beer a lot for marinades and things.
Yeah.
And I could easily see like a beer reduction or something like that being made on the grill if you have like a pan. And just make a barbecue sauce with a little bit of beer and then kind of reduce it to catch all the flavors out of the beer and not make it super thin. And then add your molasses or whatever else other things.
I will say, if you're going to do that, be sure you know what beer you're using and you've tasted the beer and familiar with the beer. I mean, I think that's important with any beer you're kind of cooking with. There are a lot of beers, when you reduce things, it kind of intensifies the flavor, right?
Yeah.
So... You know, if I added an IPA and reduced it and added it to a barbecue sauce,
I'd be like,
I don't think that'd be a great idea.
No, I would say don't do that.
No, yeah. So you want something more malty and a little less hoppy.
Yeah, I learned that from experience trying to make brats in an IPA. That's not a smart idea.
I think we should have Chad try it and then report back next week.
Oh, I have.
How that happened.
I cooked a lot. There are a lot of people that tell you just don't cook with IPAs at all, but... I found there are certain things. Beer batter is one of them because it doesn't.
Sure.
When you're dipping something and frying it, you're not cooking it long enough, and there's enough stuff in the beer batter that you can still impart those flavors of the IPA and not get it reduced to where it's too bitter. But there's a lot of raw preparation. Ceviche, I think, is a great, which is kind of chemically cooking with the acids and things with fish. And an IPA where you're not reducing it at all, or you're not cooking it at all, I think is a nice
idea. That's a good idea. Nice I'd like idea. To try a ceviche made with a beer.
Yeah.
That could be really intense.
You still have to add a little bit of acid because there's not quite enough acid in the in the beer to fully get the ceviche.
Well, you still need like a lime or lemon or something like that in there anyhow, because that's the ceviche flavor is that kind. But I could easily see like a West Coast style IPA with tons of lime juice.
Yeah.
And then it would really go well together. The IPA and the lime would go together, but also then now your shrimp or your fish or whatever you've got in the ceviche would really accentuate that too.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
And I also like to add a lot of like darker stouts or high alcohol stouts or beers in baking. So if you're baking a chocolate cake, for example, I mean, even if you go to the grocery store and buy a box mix where they'll have you add milk or some kind of other liquid, just replace that with an imperial stout. And it really gives that chocolate cake a richness and a deep flavor that, you know, just milk or water wouldn't give you.
It doesn't give you any of the alcohol. That all boils away.
Most of it, that cooks off. So.
And that's, I think, one misconception is that people think, oh, if I put beer in my food, then everybody's going to get drunk. No. If you're cooking it, no, all the alcohol will go away. So, yeah, no, I've always done the braising part. That's probably one of my favorite is braise.
Yeah. And so. I know a lot of people put beer in their chilies or... you know, there's beer cheese soup, beer cheese dip, or those
and we've had. I've had the hardest time trying to make the perfect beer cheese dip.
Yeah,
I get it too beer flavored and not enough cheese flavored.
Not enough cheese flavored. Yeah.
So I got to figure out how to overcome
a balance
that.
There you got to find.
You know, like 25 ounces of beer and 2 ounces of cheese is just not the right mixture. So
well, with beer cheese soup and dip, you kind of, there's always that fine line too if you get it too warm to where it kind of just all of a sudden breaks on you and separates and then the cheese gets really grainy and icky
and the beer starts to taste like it was beer pulled off the floor
somebody pulled the mat off.
I was gonna say it's the beer mat.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I hate that kind of flavor in my beer, in my food. So I kind of want to avoid that at all costs. So
I don't know. I'm just kind of fun talking about cooking with
it. It is. Makes me hungry.
It does.
So have you made any gravies with the and things like that? Because, you know, like you cook a chicken on the grill or something like that, and you want to have mashed potatoes and gravy on the side with it. Of course, you're not going to get any of those chicken drippings and the chicken fats going into the fire. So you're kind of missing all of that. And I've struggled with trying to get a gravy to go along with it because oftentimes a gravy or something like that is a really good thing to have.
It is.
Alongside of a roasted chicken.
Mm-hmm.
But the roasted chicken wasn't done in the oven, in a pan. It's been
where
done
you get
on
all the drippings.
That's
the
right.
Flavors,
it's been fire roasted. And so you've lost all the drippings. So enter beer.
I like that idea. I do. I think you have to find the right beer.
Mm-hmm.
That would, you know, depending on the type of gravy you're making.
Maybe baste the chicken with the same beer?
Help. I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
You know, maybe marinate the chicken in the beer before you grill it, and then use that same beer to kind of add liquid and flavor to your gravy. I still think you're probably going to want to use some kind of chicken broth or stock or
right, you're
gonna
like have
that.
To, otherwise you're not gonna have
have enough.
Right. You'll have sauce.
Yeah. Which again, you know, just know the beer you're using and know the flavors that are in there. So
Well, I've heard of the dark beers being used more often. But dark's the wrong word for it. The malt forward beers. So like a really good barley wine.
Yes.
Or an imperial porter.
To where you're getting more,
imperial stout.
You know, higher alcohol content and more towards the wine alcohol range where a lot of people are more comfortable cooking with wine. I think there's a lot of things that you can do with beers like that, that yeah. including gravies and sauces and braises. And
well, just to let the same, you know, to pull back into what you had originally talked about is make sure you taste the beer.
Absolutely.
Just like if you're using wine to cook with, they say never use the cooking wine because you wouldn't drink that in the first place. So right. why would you want to eat it later? Same thing I think is probably true with beer. Don't
it is, yeah.
pick a beer that you don't like or you haven't even tasted.
And we always have a saying in the kitchen, a little bit for the sauce, a little bit for the chef, a little bit for the sauce, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
So,
or who's that guy from Louisiana who used to do the cooking all the time and it's just a little bit of wine?
Justin Wilson?
Justin Wilson.
Justin Wilson.
Ooh, boy.
Oh, boy.
A little bit of wine. We should have our own TV show and go, ooh, a little bit of beer.
A little bit of beer.
There you go.
Well, we better get a break in here if we're going to drink this review beer. So we'll take a quick break, come back. We'll get into our review beer and talk more about the fourth and drinking beer. Stick around. Welcome back. We're still Brew Talk. We're still here talking beer and drinking it.
Beer.
It's time that we review one now. So I brought this in. This is from Upslopes in Boulder, International Lager Series, and it's a German-style Pilsner. The ingredients are snow melt, German malt, Loral hops, Tettenanger hops, and yeast.
I love the specs they wrote on that can.
Right. Handcrafted aluminum can. Portable, recyclable, good.
I know. It's a good set of specs to have, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because you could just imagine if it wasn't handcrafted and it was in a, I don't know, a steel can.
Or a bottle.
Or a bottle. Or wouldn't be portable
wouldn't
or recyclable.
Be as portable.
No, it would not be.
And, of course, it would not be as good.
Right.
It wouldn't. Bringing in at 4.9 on the alcohol scale. So, not too
well,
high.
Well, pouring it is kind of interesting. It does have an awful lot of foam and head right there at the start.
Right at the beginning, and then it just
dies. Dies real quick.
Yep.
The color is gorgeous yellow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Almost a sort of like an iridescent green.
Oh, good
is
word.
Is that our word of the day?
I think that was your word of the day.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if it counts if the person who creates the word of the day gets to use the word of the day. I don't know. Maybe
it
does.
I didn't say that word.
maybe that was Micah that used the word.
It was Micah.
It was.
No, it was you, Scott.
It wasn't me.
But anyhow, it's kind of got this greenish kind of hint to it, which implies there's a lot of hop flavor in here. And
super clear.
And the first thing I noticed when I brought it up to my nose is the aroma. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's interesting for a German-style Pilsner. There's that weird word, interesting.
Interesting.
Because I wasn't expecting the Loral hops and the Tettnang. And now I know that it's the Loral. And the Tettnang, totally on board with the Loral, is kind of a... an interesting addition here that makes it kind of unique. And to me, the nose is just, it's very floral.
Floral.
Is that a good word?
So for us non-brewers and non-hop experts, is the floralness from the Loral? And that's apparently not common in German Pilsners.
Well, you would agree with me there's a little floral note.
There is.
To
there
it.
Is. Absolutely.
And that is, Loral does have a little bit of floral note to it. Tettnang has a very, very tiny hint of it. And so I think they're playing on them together in that regard. And I never judge on the first sip. I always wait for third sip. But by the third sip, it's starting to meld together. Mm-hmm. That first sip, they weren't melded very well, and now they are. So,
do you think that's from your initial smelling of the yeah. beer, and then it just kind of throws everything off.
Because your nose isn't just like set. It's still on a hard charged tea. So you got to change over, right? You got to clear out the nose sockets for all the new smells coming in. And so third time is the time to make the call. And on that third time, I really do get an awful lot of floral notes to it that I wouldn't have expected in a Pilsner.
Okay.
So it's not a bad thing.
Right.
It's just, it makes it unique.
And I thought when I first smelled the beer, I thought Pilsner right away. So maybe it's just the Pilsners I've been drinking have that kind of floralness and those kind of hop characters.
Well, it does have a little sulfur note in there too, which really goes well with the Pilsner style. And you can really sense that in there. And I think that's what makes this, the Pilsner, very much a Pilsner.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Thoughts?
I don't have near the vocabulary or the range of...
good beer?
Yeah. No, I like it. It's crisp. Mm-hmm. I like that. And you guys know me, I like my German beers. Sure. I love my Hefeweizens. I love my Pilsners. And this one's really good. And I like the complexity of the flavor because of exactly what you were just talking about, Doc. The floral part of it, the things that I can't quite pick out and denote the way that you can. But when you're saying them, I'm like shaking my head going, oh, yeah, that's what I'm hearing. Or that's what I'm feeling. That's what I'm smelling. That's what I'm tasting. And it's really good. I feel like this is a beer I could drink as a session beer. I could drink, two or three of them in the evening. It could be another lawnmower beer for me. It could be my next lawn beer. Absolutely could.
No, I just did a beer training with my staff. And I talked a lot about that, Scott, is, when you're first tasting beers and you taste something, but you don't quite know what it is, and somebody that has tasted a lot of beer comes and tells you, this is what I'm tasting. And then it clicks in your head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's all about training your palate. If you've never tried plums before and you're going to drink a beer that somebody says tastes like plums, you're not going to know what that flavor is.
Yeah. And I never tell people what it smells or tastes like until after they've done it first.
Right.
Because I don't want to throw out a keyword and then they pick up on the word and go, oh, that's my word too.
Oh, yeah.
No, you could have said, oh, it's kind of bubblegummy. Kind of flavored, and I'd be like, okay, cool.
No, you wouldn't have. You wouldn't.
I would have been like, well, I don't know what Scott's drinking. Like floral kind of or notes, and you would have been like, oh, yeah, that's probably a better way to describe it. But, most people don't really have the keyword doesn't match the flavor.
Right.
And so you got to get the flavor you tell and then assign a keyword to it, and then that's your word.
Right.
So if bubblegummy, if is the word you're thinking of, then bubblegummy is the word that you use to describe that flavor. And that's cool. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Because your palate's different from my palate.
It's
different from Scott's palate. Different from Micah's Mountain Dew palate.
That's right.
That's right.
So
yep.
There's no wrong answer.
The first time that we try a beer and we all say, my gosh, that tastes just like Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
I think that's when Micah will try it.
I will jump through the glass. I will steal it from you.
Next on Brew Talk.
Micah comes through the glass for the Mountain Dew beer.
But that's very true, though. You want to train your palate, but you also want your palate to be your decider, not somebody else's words.
Right,
right.
Because somebody tells me it tastes like cinnamon, I ignore that. And I go after my own taste buds and go, okay, maybe there's some cinnamon or nutmeg or something in there. But it's me making the decision, not somebody else.
But that's their brain saying, this is the closest thing that you've tasted that is similar to what you're tasting now.
Exactly. And that's why, to me, there's a lot of floral notes like geraniums and those kinds of things that might smell like that I taste in this.
Makes sense.
All right, we're going to take another break here. When we come back, we'll score this beer, we'll wrap up the show, and we'll see what we think. Welcome back to Brew Talk. Let's get this beer rated.
Yeah, we got to do that.
I got it.
You got it? All right, on the count of three. One, two, three.
Boom. Growler.
Growler.
Pint.
Pint.
Oh, sorry.
But two growlers and a pint makes it Brew Talk approved.
Brew Talk approved. Brew Talk approved.
And very quaffable.
Very quaffable.
See, but we've already chosen the word of the day, so I know, can't be quaffable.
I just threw it in because Micah likes when we say quaffable.
He does.
Again, I thought it was a good beer. I think it's something I would take home, a six-pack.
So would I.
And enjoy quite a bit.
Yeah?
I just thought maybe it was a little too out there for a Pilsner. I was expecting something.
So not quite following the style.
Not quite following the style, and it was... for me, I don't dislike it. I just don't know that I would grab a crowler or growler and run home with it.
Yeah.
So, good beer.
Good beer. Yeah, really good. I like a lot of Upslope stuff. They do a really good job.
Oh, how many, you mentioned that it was part of their International Lager Series. Any idea of how many that they're doing? Because I could see that be something that we could do maybe every few weeks.
I think so.
Go back into another
one. I would imagine they only do... You know, like limited runs. They might do like four a year.
Okay.
And keep them seasonal. I don't know for sure.
It's an interesting.
I didn't realize they had the International Lager Series until I read the can. I just thought this was one of their normal releases. So.
Well, the National Lager Series would be kind of short, wouldn't it?
It would.
It would be.
So I like that they're doing an international run.
Yeah.
So. But no, as a German-style Pilsner, I thought it was good. Czech-style Pilsners are the other kind that are really kind of prevalent that you might think of when you think of a Pilsner.
I think that's kind of what everybody thinks when they think Pilsner is the Czech style, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. It's with the Saaz hops, the noble hops. It's very earthy and, you know, just, Pilsner Urquell is a great example.
Yeah, so I'm looking on their website right now, and they have a number of seasonal limited releases, and this one falls into what they're calling, it's a limited release, but it's interesting because on their website it shows limited release, but then I'm also seeing on the can, it talks about their international one. They also have a Japanese or an Italian, which is an international lager series.
Oh,
so they've done
fun.
That. Yeah. So there's a few of them in here.
So maybe sometime we'll grab the Italian style and compare that to what we drank tonight.
Definitely. Oh, they have a pumpkin ale.
Lots of good stuff coming up this coming week, right? Yeah.
Get out there. Enjoy your 4th responsibly.
Yes.
Stop by Doc's if you want to watch some fireworks on the 4th. They got a great view of the country club. So hope everybody has a great 4th of July, a great weekend. And get out there, enjoy some things, some local breweries, and have a great holiday. We'll see you here in 2 weeks because we won't be here on the 4th. Good night, everybody.